This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY. With me today are David Kennedy, Senior Executive VP and Chief Banking Officer, National Penn Bank, and Tony Ionelli, President CEO, Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce. In this segment, our discussion is with David Kennedy about the banking system in the Lehigh Valley and how we are going to fare during 2014. David, what do you see?
Thank you for having me with you today. At National Penn Bank, we are very optimistic about growth prospects as we embark on 2014. The trend for loan growth rates has been up slightly during the year of 2013, and especially in the business lending side of things, we see the commercial growth up over 3.5%. We had a very strong fourth quarter, giving us a very strong annualized growth rate, which we believe will bode well for 2014. Competition remains very strong as we have numerous competitors in our marketplace with intense pricing pressures, but we do feel very good about things.
Oh, that's great to hear. David, there is a lot of discussion about banks not lending money. How do you see it on your side of the table?
That's a good point, Cameron, and we do hear that often. It's actually a very frustrating point, if you will, from the banker's perspective. As an example, at National Penn, we are producing nearly $100 million a month of gross loan production to stay relatively flat in asset size. So we feel very strongly that we are doing well. When we have a net growth rate of close to 3% as we head into 2014, that is a significant amount of loan production. And what I'm pleased to say is our loan growth has been on the small business end, on the retail sector for the consumers, as well as for larger corporate commercial customers.
Oh, that's great to hear. David, when we were talking about this, you were talking about how much of these are refinances and how many of these are new and expansion of for businesses in Lehigh Valley. What do you see?
Okay, that's a very good question as well, Cameron. We, as I had talked with you earlier, we had seen quite a bit of refinancing activity during 2012 and for much of 2013. During the second half of 2013, we're starting to see more opportunities, and as we go into 2014, where companies, businesses are now looking to start making investments again and starting to borrow money for planned expansions and for equipment purchases and so on, and rebuilding some inventory. So again, this leads to us being more optimistic that there is some growth taking place. Much of our lending activity, as I had said, has been refinancing companies moving from one bank to another bank. So it is good to see, and it's positive to see that there's now some real growth occurring.
No, that's great to hear. It's our survey of Lehigh Valley businesses indicated that businesses are planning to hire more employees. However, their plans for increasing expenditure to match that increased employment level is really not solidified yet. What do you see?
We see that, I haven't seen as much investment in increasing employment as we have in people starting to recognize they need to restore inventories, they need to start to make investments in capital to improve their equipment or replace equipment as it's been worn. And we see that there are some businesses out there that are aggressively looking to expand their business, potentially buying out other competitors and expanding their place in their position in their industries.
David, after the financial crisis and the start of the Great Recession, one of the issues we observed were that banks changed the criterion on which they were lending money. There was no longer 100% mortgages. They required people to have an income and ability to pay it back. It was the no-doc contracts were no longer considered. How has it changed afterwards? Because this resulted in a significant drop in lending.
No question about it, Cameron. One of the things I will say that the bankers sometimes perhaps want to make sure is clear is that much of the lending that took place at 100% or higher types of advance rates were in fact not banks, mm-hmm. but might have been those in other related industry, mortgage lending, mortgage brokerage, and so on. But what is the reality today is that the regulatory environment has changed, and they have tightened all the considerations and tightened up on the aspects of the requirements to be extending credit. As a general commercial banker, I will argue that we did not really change our criteria to a very large extent, and we continue to do a significant amount of residential mortgage loan production as well as home equity lending to the consumers in our marketplace.
Well, that's great. I'd like to welcome our new guest, Tony Iannelli, and who'll be co-hosting me with me this this program. He just arrived from flying into Lehigh Valley Airport.
Exactly right. Yeah, very good point. Thank you.
Tony, we are discussing the results of the survey of businesses in Lehigh Valley and the fact that businesses are becoming more optimistic about hiring more people, but their plans for increasing their expenditure to match that is not all there. So we want to see what we can understand of the market.
So, you, in essence, what you're saying is the study showed again that they're going to see some potentially some hiring going forward. So, you know, as I've said along, and I'm glad we have Dave because Dave's been in this business. How long have you been in this business, Dave?
30 years.
30 years, yeah. He doesn't look a day over 25 to me. But
I agree.
You're kind.
But I think, you know, you and I have talked about this, Cameron, and that is that businesses have been very, and from my perspective, just been very cautious because it always seems to be some sort of piece of potential legislation or something that comes out, you know, on the governmental side that scares them a little bit.
Yeah, also, from some of what I'm hearing is that major businesses are slowly starting to increase the ability of local managers or their authority of local managers to go into process of hiring. But accountability and all of those factors and uncertainty makes them a lot less likely to just jump in the market and hire new people as if it would have been 2005 or 2004, that's the way it would have happened. Many now go through the route of initially through the temps. And that's one of the things that appears to be on the rise, the temporary hiring. Tony, what do you see? You are always with businesses in Lehigh Valley.
Well, that's a good point. The temporary hiring, to me, speaks to, again, this concern with what's coming next. So, in essence, what I think that they're saying is we need people. We are growing. We see this economy, as you've said 5 years ago, Cameron, we're going to inch ahead forward, and you were right, I might add.
I was right. Tony admits that. Oh, I have to write that somewhere. This is the first time Tony has said
you really were. So, again, so they keep seeing this inching forward, but they don't believe it in the sense that if I put someone on board, make that commitment, what's going to happen next? So that's why I think you see a lot of temp. It's the reality of the growth, the concern with the policy.
Employment in Lehigh Valley has gone up significantly above what it was pre-recession. But it is the composition that is always the issue. And that's one of the things we are looking at. For example, in the type of people that businesses that you extend loans to, do you see what type of composition do you see?
We, as you know, in general banking, we're working with all types of industries, really all shapes and sizes, from the smallest businesses all the way up through large corporations. What I will tell you we see is there still is a tendency for the mainstay of their employee base to be full time. But as Tony and you have both indicated, there is an extreme caution in moving forward with hiring more full-time and adding full-time employment to the employee roster. So I would say that they are attempting to use, in many of the companies we work with, more technology before they start investing in more people.
Well, there is no question that the mode of production is changing. And one of it is this introduction of practical electronic system that people can go and do their banking, for example, in your case, without need to talk with a teller. And that is a factor that will obviously, as we are going forward, affect hiring in every area, including Lehigh Valley. So one of the things that I was expecting to hear from you is that you are seeing more technology type companies starting to borrow. Do you see anything like that on the horizon?
I'd say it's more of a general statement where most of our customer base are investing in more technology. So they're seeking financing and it's producing new opportunities for us where they want to enhance their technology of their existing equipment and doing things in other ways. Again, it leads to not needing to hire as many people. You had made the point, Tony, about the change in technology in banking. As many people know, numerous different financial institutions have announced that they're going to consolidate some of their branches, which is going to put further pressure on the employment roles. And what's happening is the American Bankers Association has done a survey across the country and has found that 39% of the consumers that use banking prefer to do banking online. Only 18% of consumers tend to want to go to visit a branch to do their banking. And banking transaction volume, as we discussed earlier today, is down anywhere from 15 to 30%. So less and less people are coming into a branch and working with live people, and more people want to use the newer technologies. And in banking, the biggest thing now, of course, is mobile banking and mobile bill pay and mobile check capture. So you're able to make deposits now on your iPhone and other types of technical instruments.
You know, it's funny when he says that. I have a younger daughter that just graduated from college and got a job. And I said, you know, you got to start a savings account. Make sure you go into the bank and open an account. And she thought, you know, it was almost like I was talking. Well, like she even knew what I was, you know, what do you mean? I do that online and it's automatic withdrawal. And so that's a good point. What we're going to see in terms of vacancy rates relative to the fact that you won't see the branches that we did in the past. I wanted to ask you, Cameron, I feel the same thing on the retail side. More and more people are buying online. So your neighborhood retailer, you know, who are so important to these communities in terms of our inner cities, I would assume that's a market, too, that's challenged.
That is obviously challenged. That market is looking at major, major issues, particularly because so many people go to the store to check and look at an item and then go on the internet and find where that item is sold cheaper than what they have seen. So in one side of it is information about pricing is becoming widespread so everybody can get prices, and it's very hard to get blindsided on that. But on the other side, it also takes away the need for having so many stores, and that's going to be a change that's probably going to take a decade or two for it to completely go through all the systems.
Yeah, and there was an issue, too, relative to sales tax and whether that was a level playing field, that the local retailers were, in fact, paying it, and many of the internet marketing was not. So that's...
Yeah, that is... these things come in because the laws are always way behind technology as they slowly start to catch up with that. And in marketing, obviously, you need to have at least give the local retailers as much potential as somebody coming out from outside to sell to them. Now, your bank obviously been in the news indicating that they're closing branches, and some others also locally. Could you catch us up into what you're doing?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Yes, we've made a difficult decision that we are going to consolidate 9 of our branch locations. National Penn has 120 branch locations. Of those 9 that we're consolidating, 6 of them are in what I would consider the greater Lehigh Valley. 5 of those branches are less than 2 miles away from one of our other branches. So one of the things that many of the financial institutions are dealing with is if you have an overabundance, I'll say it, or an oversupply in any one geographic region, you're going to tend to look to maybe consolidate some of those locations. Again, it comes back to the fact that more and more people are using technology, and more people are not in need of coming in to have the manual transaction take place. They'd prefer not to. So it's a matter that we feel we are very overcovered, very well covered, excuse me, in our marketplace here, and we feel very strongly that we will retain, you know, nearly all of our customer base because of the branches we're consolidating into are so close by.
Oh, okay.
But it's certainly an impact on people.
Well, that's definitely, and that's sort of the tip of the iceberg, as many, many companies will feel in the similar fashion, as that need to sit down and talk with somebody across the table becomes less and less necessary.
Yes.
You know, the impact, too, then on companies, if some companies are quicker to react than others, but, you know, if you don't get into this this new world of, you know, of marketing relative to being electronic marketing, the Internet, you know, you can lose. Well, the flip side, the positive side, I know companies that have really increased sales tremendously because maybe a younger a son or someone came online, got them online, and before you know it, they're selling product that they never dreamed they'd be selling.
That's true. It opens up the markets to you that becomes the entire nation, or globally for that matter, as becomes your market. By the same token, competition could come from South Africa.
Absolutely.
Tony makes a very good point that investment in using new technology can expand revenue growth for many of these businesses.
That's the direction that everybody is going. The question will become, of course, what happens to the employees if everything becomes automatic and there is no need for anybody to work, who will be able to buy the products that we are creating? Is that the direction we are going?
It's an interesting and dynamic future.
Okay. The interesting part is that most during history, changes in mode of production has been coming and going. And almost every time when they came, people thought nobody will be employed afterwards because this thing will take everybody's job. But these new technologies bring in new jobs of their own that will be created at that time. You are listening to Economic Pulse with Cameron Afshar from WDIY.
You're listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And thanks for your support.
Are you a know-it-all or just play one on the internet? Then the new show Ask Me Another might just be your cup of tea or coffee or two-syllable energy drink that begins with the letter M. Play along and test your knowledge of history, pop culture, even math. I'm Ophira Eisenberg. Join me for an hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. It's Ask Me Another from NPR.
Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on WDIY.
This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY. With me today are David Kennedy, Senior Executive Vice President and Chief Banking Officer, National Penn Bank, and Tony Ainelli, President, CEO, the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce.
Senior and executive.
Both of them.
Well, you know, I did kid him, but Dave's been around this business for a long, long time, and I'm sure you've seen it all. And speaking of that, being around it a long, long time, and I know Cameron and I have a million questions for you, but Cameron, you you know, recently presented your outlook relative to the local outlook. I guess just quickly, and I know we're going to talk a little about that, but in general, you had said for maybe the next, when I talked about 5 years ago, we're going to see a steady but not a dramatic increase on a yearly basis. And as I said, you've been right so far. We're going to continue to see it?
My expectations are that actually this year, 2014, we're going to see something that, considering the situation, we could call it strong growth. In 2000, we wouldn't have called this, this strong growth, but this year, it appears to be that way because it would be significantly better than what we have seen over the last couple of years. And that indication is coming from a variety of different ways. Many economists have increased their forecast for GDP by as much as 1 whole percentage point for next year.
Wow.
So that's one of the indicators that it's coming. And Dave, you guys are going to help increase employment in Lehigh Valley from what I hear.
Yes, we're very excited about that. And as everyone has seen in our announcements and as downtown Allentown is transforming with all of the construction and expansion, National Penn Bank and Bank Shares, the holding company, will be moving their corporate headquarters coming up from Boyertown in Berks County into downtown Allentown. We're also using the opportunity of bringing together many of our employees to also bring several of our local locations where we have different lines of business that heretofore have not been able to work closely together. They're now going to all be under one roof, so to speak. We feel that's going to be a wonderful move on an efficiency perspective, but it'll really foster and encourage more teamwork. And we feel will be a be able to help us better provide for our customer base and continue our growth. So we're very excited about downtown Allentown and what is happening here in the greater Lehigh Valley.
You know, that's a phenomenal, and thank you for that. You know, that's a city that, as we all know, has struggled. And, boy, the amount of, $1 billion in development. And so many people, just to get back to your point, Dave, and actually to Cameron's point about employment, many people speak to the fact that we're going to have an arena there. That's almost the tip of the iceberg. It's really these employees. When you put those bodies into the downtown, I mean, there's ripple effects in terms of restaurants and retail and the like. So how many employees will
actually? Yes, we're gonna end up with between 275 and 350 employees as we start to move in. And we start our move on March 1st.
Wow, that's
our
fantastic.
first floor of moving in, and we'll be on the floors 7 through 11 of the new high-rise.
As we did the economic impact study for the airport, Lehigh Valley International Airport, we saw that the impact is not just the number of the employees who are there and the paycheck that they draw, but because they spend all this money around. And you know, you're there, you have to go eat lunch, you have to get there, and you have to go, and then the housing market around, all of those will be significantly affected by this injection of new employees in the valley. That's I look forward to that.
Yeah, we've been on a really, I mean, you know, that's what you say, the Chamber of Commerce kind of personality kind of way, but we really have had a phenomenal run in the valley. It you know, it's sort of all the stars seem to align. In terms of, you know, we have good cost of living still, and we've got great corporate commitments. So it's just been a pretty good run, really, for almost now all the cities.
So. Well, it's not surprising that the president's...
Yeah, I know what else
Commerce
am I going to say, but really, if you think...
Yeah, but you are right on, Tony. It's very exciting to see for all three cities, as well as all the surrounding communities.
Yeah, and again,
it's been a very vibrant valley.
In your 30 years, you've seen the rise, the fall,
yes,
and coming back again. Cameron, I just want to ask you in your studies, I seem to feel, and you're the real guy with the real quantifiable information, that manufacturing is coming back a little bit.
I paid him for that thing to say that.
Yeah. I guess you actually know.
I did not hear the question.
Oh, you were so much enamored that I was...
yes, you were saying...
he was so busy listening to his compliment.
He never pays me any compliments. So in a rare occasion that he says something that's not ugly, I get totally...
You lost your focus.
I lost my focus. What is...
The question was, I'm getting the sense that manufacturing's coming back, not at a rocket pace, but am I right?
Not a lot. We have not seen a lot of that happening in terms of data that I have seen, at least. Expansion of employment in the sector and all of those are not going anywhere in a fashion that indicates a return back to the system. But even manufacturing is changing. So many things are changing that are we are thinking, when we are talking manufacturing, we are thinking 1950s. Conveyor belt and huge machines and smokestacks. Today's manufacturers, some of them produce computers and stuff like that. It's everything is changing in a fashion. And now with the 3D printing, apparently you want a cup, you can print it and then use a cup. Yeah. And then throw it away. And that is a phenomenon that will make so many changes as we are going forward.
I'm glad I'm not 21 years old. Yeah. You hear people say that. But it's, you know, again, to compete in this and the upcoming environment's going to just be phenomenal. Can I ask Dave a quick question on this subject? Dave, do you, when you, we talked, Cameron talked about how companies are more lean now than ever because of the fear factor.
Yes.
Do you find that when you're evaluating or they're applying? I mean, I guess my question is, are you find a more qualified applicant based on the fact that they've been so, lack of a term, paranoid, conservative, that they come to you in maybe better shape? Or?
I think that's a very, very good point, Tony, and a true point. We are seeing that many of the industries, both small businesses and larger businesses, have accumulated quite a bit of liquidity the last couple of years because they have not been making the investment. They've been cautious. So their deposit levels are up, and in essence, they could be a stronger borrower, if you will, if they're coming for credit extension. As we talked about earlier today, much of the business in 2012 and into the, at least the first half of 2013 for banking was really refinancing activity, moving one business, moving from one bank to another, and so on and so forth. And toward the second half of 2013, as we look forward optimistically in 2014, we're seeing more activity where we're actually financing plans for expansion or plans for new equipment or building some inventory. So we do see more of a need there. But to your point, the customer base or the prospective borrower has probably a healthier balance sheet right now than they might have had 2 or 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, and as you were saying, Cameron, in the late 90s, early 2000, you almost couldn't lose, whether it was realist. You know, the economy was so heated up, it was so hot that, in essence, people were, you almost could take a shot at anything, and it might work out. You know, it was a different environment.
Yeah, I remember that even one of the new banks that was about to come up at that point, and the gentleman who was showing the papers around was telling me that no started bank has ever lost money, and was showing me the history of it, the ones who went bad and still made money, and how much it's different now. So many actually established banks went under after during the financial crisis. So we are living in a new era. Things that were pre-recession are not coming back. I mean, we can visit them in history books, but that's about all that we're going to see. This is a new environment that we are living in, and we are seeing so many aspects of it. Companies are flushed with money. Banks are flushed with money, and nobody is moving. Are you seeing, Dave, much increase in demand for mortgages?
No, actually quite the contrary. When you talk about residential mortgages, home mortgages, that business has thrived for a couple of years on the refinancing activity, everyone taking advantage of rates dropping over the last 3-4 years and refinancing homes maybe one or two times, maybe three times. That line of business, as an example at National Penn, probably two-thirds to three-quarters of our business in 12 and 13 was refinancing activity. That has totally changed around. Probably less than one-third of our business now is refinancing, and we're seeing the trend that the volumes of residential mortgage lending are becoming more challenging. There's not the refinancing aspect of it, but there are a decent amount of new home buyers, and it tends to be first-time home buyers. So that's a positive in the realm. But pipelines in sense of residential mortgage, and we're a large residential mortgage originator, are dramatically lower than they have been in the last couple of years.
Oh. Is Dave, I wanted to ask you something, though. Whenever I say it, people think I'm crazy. So this has nothing to do with Cameron, because he's the fact guy.
What do you mean? People think you are crazy?
When I say this, and maybe otherwise. But I don't want to miss the point. We always talk about with the mortgage crisis and the impact and the crash. But there was another side to that, and I wondered, you as a lender, that there were a lot of people that I knew that that maybe previously in, quote-unquote, the old days, couldn't have gotten a mortgage and couldn't have bought a house. So I know we got a little crazy, but the upside to that is, aren't there a lot of homeowners now that maybe never would have been prior to that in terms of when the ability to lend was a little bit easier?
Yeah, that could be. As I had said to Cameron earlier, the aspect for us is that our mortgage activity really didn't we weren't on the aggressive end, if you will, mm-hmm. of overextending on loan to values and those types of things. We were always fairly conservative, so our volume of business stayed steady through this time frame.
And does your foreclosure rate reflect that? Comparatively,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I would say so. I think there's probably some truth to what you're saying, that more people ended up owning homes. I do think there was quite a bit of turmoil, though, for and unfortunately in a negative way, perhaps, for people that overextended themselves and then found themselves in a very difficult situation.
Or maybe not traditional banking as you have been with reputations, been in a community, but there are a lot of people running around that were quote-unquote mortgage brokers, and they'd find you a way to get you a mortgage somehow.
And that was one of the points I made to Cameron earlier. The regular banks get a little bit uneasy when they're talked about as having created some of this problem.
That's true. That is true. It's that was a time that many of these entities came about and destroyed the financial system as we knew it, from a small one like this and the huge investment bankers who also went out on huge leverage and from both ends basically damaged the whole economy. One of the things that I've seen in the number of new jobs that are created, new businesses that are created, is that huge number of these, both of these categories, falls in the area of professional business consulting, and these types of things that could be from a one-man show, and I'm not putting it down. I am a one-man show, almost, maybe mm-hmm. two. But it is to a person who for half an hour does something, and that becomes a business. And if you report that, a census will count it as as employed, and that you pay taxes on it. That's a business. So some of the data that we have for employment in Lehigh Valley and the way it is showing, it is so different from the way it used to be pre-recession. A huge part of this growth appears to be coming from people who were prior to the recession employed somewhere else and maybe laid off and started new businesses. So not all new businesses are viable, as we know, in a variety of different factors. Many businesses don't even make their 12th month. And in this economy also, it is even harder to go forward. So the numbers this time round, because of the changes, are somewhat misleading the way we are looking at a very rapid growth in employment in Lehigh Valley compared to pre-recession. Some of this could change around in terms of employment as we are going forward. Tony, have you seen anything like that in your...
Yeah, somewhat. I guess the question I would ask of you and your studies, too, are with this, again, someone was in a traditional job. Maybe they worked for, whatever, Verizon in the landline area and moved out, and now they found another spot. Is this middle class shrinking? In essence, are these new jobs? So they're jobs, but are they jobs that can pay at the level and allow the middle class to contribute to this economy, which I do think is important?
Yes, there are indications that the middle class is shrinking because many of the new jobs don't pay as much as they did. And we have gone through this in Lehigh Valley one other time. When I looked at the W-2's return in 1979, before the Bethlehem Steel first crisis, and adjusted that to see, okay, afterwards it dropped with Bethlehem Steel and all of those jobs lost and with multiplier effect to all the others. It took the Lehigh Valley until 1988 for the W-2 level of payment to get back where it was in 1979. And by that time, a lot more people were employed. So average pay adjusted for inflation was lower by 88. So yes, we recover through all of this process, but one of it is unfortunately through lower jobs.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's back to what manufacturing can do, or at least you said it right. What we're used to seeing manufacturing, sparks flying and smokestacks and that has changed. But what always concerns me is what is the and again, Cameron, you know this better than what's the bedrock of the economy.
Okay, that is a segment we're going to pick up in the next part of our presentation today. This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
For program support of WDIY, we thank Lehigh County, Northampton County, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
This is Cameron Afshar with Economic Pulse from WDIY. With me today are David Kennedy, Senior Executive VP and Chief Banking Officer, National Penn Bank, and Tony Iannelli, President and CEO of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce.
He didn't mention Chief Banking Officer last time, did he?
No, I always do.
I think he did. Oh, did he? Okay, I thought he was holding out on you, Dave. I really did.
No. Tony is jealous that I'm not giving him other
titles. A longer title.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things I failed to give you, by the way, I noticed, and you are, you have a doctorate, and you are Dr. Afshar.
That has been there for a while.
Cameron, no wonder you're so mad at me most of the time.
Well, you call me a lot of things, but I'll take Cameron over there.
So you want to talk manufacturing?
Sure.
You're around long enough this community. And my first job was at Mack Truck, and we put together trucks every day, and we, you know, you got paid in those days maybe $8 an hour, and that was a good wage.
That's
and you
a
could
good
buy a
wage,
house,
then.
And you bought a car. And
we're talking about 1800s, right?
About late 1800s. But you know, there was about talk about bedrock. It was a basis. You know, when you see thousands of people run out of a manufacturing plant after they punched out, you know that they're, you know, that's going into the economy. So the question is, again, we have a lot of, you know, we talk about service industry, manufacturing, you know, what is the bedrock?
Yeah, it's a tough question. It's, you know, I'm another person who came here from Pittsburgh when I was a young person because my father was with Bethlehem Steel and came to the home office here and gave us an opportunity. And clearly industries like Bethlehem Steel, Mack Trucks were the bedrock, and it was very obvious to see and what was built up in this community.
Right.
And, of course, the amazing transition that's taken place to service industries and a wide variety of industries, but to Tony's point, mostly service-based.
Yes, that's different. That's where we are going. And one of the interesting parts are that despite the fact that most of the manufacturing ran out, unlike gold towns or silver towns, this didn't become a ghost town.
Yeah.
It continued to prosper and continue because we moved, the mode of production changed, so we moved into mostly services. And, of course, transportation and banking would be one of the main ones that would be coming, I guess.
Banking, healthcare. I mean, if you think about our healthcare network here in the greater Lehigh Valley with very fine healthcare institutions, in banking, there's continues to thrive. I think our geographic location, obviously, it's been known for forever that our proximity to New York City, to Philadelphia, and those areas, and our highway access has made it a very obvious place for intermodal transportation to take off, and shipping of goods and services, whether good or bad, as all the warehouses are constructed and distribution centers, but clearly our geographic location has provided us with an advantage.
Absolutely.
And we're still making things. You know, they're all certainly, we still have a segment of that. I guess that's one of, I wonder, Cameron, when you say, and again, and I keep saying this, but you were right, when you say this economy is going to grow, and I even talk about, used to talk about this year, maybe a little better bump than we've had in the past. Why? I mean, when I talk to people, they're concerned about the legislative side in terms of what laws are coming. They're certainly concerned about Obamacare. We talk about a lot of reasons. Why do we keep moving forward? I mean, thank God.
Yeah, but thank God we are moving forward. But one of the reasons is that a lot of talks like that are politics. People just vent and get angry and scream and do it. But then afterwards, the option is, shall I make my business do better? Or because I'm angry at Jack or Joe, let my business do better. At the tail end, people get to the point of, okay, I could stay angry, but I can make my business do better. And because the conditions generally are improving, nationwide we are looking at improved situations. Not totally
out of the room is the fact that Federal Reserve, by putting huge amount of money into the system, mm-hmm. made a lot of this possible. Our stock market is at highs that we would have never expected in this economic conditions to be. Stock market is significantly higher than where it was before the Great Recession started. The economy is nowhere close to where it was. Part of that is about $1 trillion of bonds that Federal Reserve buys every year, that now it is threatening, or it's going to start to taper. And that is one of the factors that has created and pushed huge amount of money into the system. I guess you guys in banking see that all the time.
Yes, and one of the things I will say counter that is maybe a negative from a perspective of a banker is that this continued low interest rate environment continues to put further and further pressure on the banks to maintain, be able to maintain profitability. Regulatory costs and the burden of compliance costs continue to rise. And if we have a prolonged period of low interest rates, which we still now foresee out into 2016, maybe 2017, you're probably better at guessing that than I would be. I'll say estimating on your behalf. I would be guessing. But that environment is putting more and more pressure on the banks, especially the smaller community banks that do not have a diversified product set that they can rely upon for revenue sources. You can't lower deposit rates any further, and I know all the consumers are not happy about that, but the lending rates continue to come down because of increased competition or intense competition. And as that margin, if you will, continues to be squeezed and narrowed, there's more and more pressure. And that's why when we talked earlier, I believe you'll see more consolidation activity in the industry.
Well, as the Fed is tapering off its injection of money into the bond market, all the forecasts are that interest rates will start to creep up.
That would be very nice on the short end.
That's true. That's true. But it is still, it is operating with about close to zero base for federal funds, which means that, on the other hand, you guys can borrow at 0% or very close to zero, and you can lend it about 3-4%. And Dave, why are you complaining?
Well, most banks, I'll speak for National Penn, we are taking the approach of trying to keep most of our assets, most of our lending activities on a variable rate basis so that we can be in a good position as rates do begin to rise. 3-4% may sound good, but if you're putting in 3-4% for 5 years, 7 years, 10 years out there, you're taking quite a bit of risk when the rate environment does change.
That's true. And it is fascinating that all of these is based on the assumption that all of us are making, that rates definitely going to go up, going to go up to 7-8%. And yes, definitely, then if you have a loan out there at 4%, you'll be significantly disadvantaged. What if these rates, not at this very, very low level, but at a slightly higher than what it is, stay for another decade?
I think you will see a major transformation in the banking industry. I think you will see quite a bit of consolidation, that it will accelerate.
So this is not profitable for you guys?
It is not profitable for us.
You know, I do, and I think when, as Dave talks about that, one thing I do think, and I've often said, is it can't be a better time to be a consumer. I mean, the competition is just unreal. Except maybe in the airline industry, but anyway. But the competition is just unreal. And you can find a product, whatever it is you're purchasing, car, but you name it. There are a lot of people out there competing, dishwasher, you know, washing machine, whatever. And banks, you know, it's a really impressive time, a good time to be a consumer.
There's no question about that. And I guess on the flip side, you would know, Cameron, that the senior citizens and so on who are relying on investments for income are struggling because they cannot find a home for higher returns.
That's the devastating part of this, is that most retired people who have a large part of their retirement income coming from interest rates and in a safe place on munis or stuff like that, they are suffering heavily from the low rates.
Yeah, how many times you hear today, I was going to retire a couple of years ago, but my IRA went to pieces, you know.
That's a great point. That's a great point, Tony.
I'm staying in the market. I'm staying at my job.
People are working longer. Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
Can Social Security stay intact, Cameron, or is that are we in a problematic situation?
In our lifetime, yes, because Tony and I are very, very old, so
yeah.
it will last a couple of more years, so we can see it. So,
yeah.
But obviously, Social Security, Medicare, all of these systems, and particularly Social Security, which is pay-as-you-go methodology, needs to be revamped as we are having a much larger percentage of our what used to be working force now retiring because the baby boomers are retiring and the numbers that are coming behind them are not as many.
Another 10 years it will be solid, do you think?
Oh, the forecasts are to mid 2020s, maybe 25, 27. But again, if we run into very good economic boom, all of a sudden, that will be extended significantly.
Yeah.
Because their assets will turn. But if we are continuing at a low level return on assets, then the life of that entity will be shortened. So there are a lot of conflicting interests that all of them come together in a point of interest rate increasing. So many economists are forecasting that interest rates going to go up a lot faster than most bankers think they're going to go up because of
we tend to be conservative in our views.
Yes, of course.
You have to be.
Yeah, it's the type of your business. But one of the factors that is up there, and we don't see it, but it is extremely dangerous, is the fact that Federal Reserve has more than quadrupled the money supply. And the only reason we don't have hyperinflation is that velocity of money, the rate at which money goes around, has dropped, plummeted. So although there is huge amount, it's not turning around very fast, it's turning very slow. As soon as the economy starts to catch, that velocity goes up and the Fed then has to pump out that money in a hurry. So this is one of those disaster scenarios that when you run simulation models, you get to a point and all of a sudden, in 3 months, they have to get all of this up, and then interest rates start to go up.
So you're worried about a little bit in the long term about inflation?
In the long term, but nothing in the short term. Right now we are doing very well. There is very little danger of inflation at this point in time. But as we are going forward and as the economy, if the forecast for this year are come anywhere close to what real action of economy come anywhere close to forecast, then we're going to see that next year the danger will be real. Because then the velocity of money is starting to go up. And the Fed in that part has no other option. It is not like they can extend it, they can think about it, they have to pull that out before it creates hyperinflation.
Mm-hmm. Very profound.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
But both of us are, as you can see, both of us
speechless.
Are speechless.
Yeah, that's a boring economic part of this whole process.
Dave, one of the things you know that maybe particularly your bank has been around as long as you have, the commitment that you've had to communities and the give back in essence, still the same mindset that at National Penn?
Yeah, that's a wonderful segue. I appreciate you bringing that up, Tony. We actually have doubled the amount of educational improvement tax credit dollars that we're going to contribute out into the community this year. So we're very proud of that. We continue to have a very high level of contribution dollars that we put out into our communities. And as you know, we pride ourselves on our entire employee base, all of our team members being involved in the community, hopefully serving on boards of various not-for-profits and other organizations that need assistance. So we really take it from the grassroots of the employee, but there's a corporate commitment behind that as well, and we encourage our employees to be involved. And we're doing everything we feel we can to really stay a very prominent supporter in our markets that we serve.
And that's pretty typical of the Lehigh Valley culture in comparative to maybe other communities. And that is, there's an expectation. First of all, sometimes people forget that they've got to actually make this money that they put into the community. They don't owe it necessarily to anybody, but it's
correct.
Just you typically, and I know you've had that culture for a
while. And obviously, in speaking of our competition, all of our competition, which we hold in highest regard, are just as involved in the communities as we are. So it's a wonderful thing to see in our industry.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a great thing coming about competition. Mm. Fantastic, Dave. Well, Dave, what's your forecast?
Well, as we said very early on, Cameron, I believe at National Pen we are optimistic about 2014. We're off to a good start. We had a strong fourth quarter. We do see some of the activity trending up. I had mentioned maybe before Tony got here that we're seeing just as much growth in the small business aspect as we do in the larger company side. So we feel very good about the fact that our team members, whether they're calling on the smallest businesses or the larger businesses, are all seeing some positive trends. A lot less refinancing activity and more activity starting to support people trying to grow. On the consumer side, we continue to see a good amount of activity with home equity lending, and we're coming out with some new deposit products that we feel will fit very well for our consumers. And so we're, I won't even use the word cautiously optimistic. I will say we're optimistic for a good solid 2014 in the markets we serve.
Great to hear that.
Did I hear you say, Dave, though, that maybe in the past what might have been a larger loan, maybe a loan pool, whatever, more and more small businesses is leading the way? Is that a misinterpretation?
Our small business lending activity is up significantly from a year or two ago. Now we've enhanced our focus or increased our focus on small business banking. We believe that we have great relationship banking and a lot of products and services to offer. So we're really focused on that, and that might be part of the reason we're growing. I don't know if we're growing at the expense of some of our competitors, but what I was saying is we see growth on the commercial or business side of things, from the smallest of businesses up through the larger businesses. So we feel pretty good that it's the whole diverse. The whole range, diverse.
That's fantastic. Average business participate in our survey was planning to hire one extra person during the next 6 months, which is great. Although people are usually more optimistic about what they're going to do. So when our numbers show us people saying they hire one more person, it usually means about half a person in the next 6 months, which is still great because it is a lot more than it was a year ago. Mm-hmm. And that progression that we are seeing in terms of plans for hiring is very, very positive for my forecasting, and it works into our forecasting model. The only caution that I have is the point that we are looking at businesses being somewhat anxious about spending the money for it. I want to hire five more people, but the money to spend for it is also something that has to come with that.
Yeah, it brings us almost back to where we started, and that is this caution that continues to creep in based on the perceived concern of what government might do to hold business back.
And what the also where the demand is, we are expecting the demand to be there. We think it will be there, but in and as of itself, are people going to buy? If I'm producing a better mousetrap, would people buy it? Do they have money to buy it? And that's where the negative news that comes in at times and is overplayed also dampens the intention for making businesses take more risk and go forward. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate your presence here and your help with this.
And thank you, Cameron. It was a pleasure, Tony.
Yeah, you too, Dave. Good to see you.
It's even good to see you, Tony.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I want to thank my guests, David Kennedy, Senior VP and Chief Banking Officer, National Pen Bank, and Tony Iannelli, President CEO, the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio.